The passage I want to read to you before we start is from 1 Peter. It's chapter 4, and it's verses 1 to 19, or the whole of chapter 4, if you like. It'll be up on the screen. It reads, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, darkness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in respect of the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For in this time of judgment, for judgment to begin with God's household, and it begins with us. What will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." So reads the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just open up your Word to us this morning. Lord, help me to deliver your Word. Blow away anything that isn't of you, Lord, because we only want to hear from you. We don't want to hear what my opinion is. My opinion is worthless, Lord. But we want to hear what you are saying to each one of us. And Lord, let us hear it, and let us, where we need to, take hold of it and to apply it to our lives, so that we can grow as you would have us grow into the likeness of your Son. Lord, you are the potter and we are the clay. So Father, we give you permission, if necessary, to break us and to remold us into the people you would have us be. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, and it's personal, because we've all got a personal relationship with God, so it's got to be to each one of us. It's personal, but it's corporative. I'm going to use you, but it applies to me as well. So don't think I'm just pointing fingers at everybody and standing back and enjoying it, because that's not the way it is. In the passage we have just read from 1 Peter 4, we are warned that we need to arm ourselves with the same attitude that Jesus displayed, and to prepare to be insulted, to have all sorts of injustice applied to us, and people blocking us, ignoring us, and laughing at us. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know that is what's going to happen, because he's told you in his word that we're on a narrow road that which many won't find, because they are not called to it. But we have given our lives to the Savior, so we know that when you come to the Lord, the first thing you must do is to repent and turn away from the world. That's what marks us, each and every one of us, as his children. Now, that's what the world finds strange. That's what the world can't understand. And that's why the world laughs at us, points the finger at us, pokes fun at us. You know, but it won't be long before, as we've just read, that he will come and judge everyone in the world. And to him, every knee will bow and confess. You know, but not everyone will be get to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome." Yeah. But that's, so the abuse, don't worry about it. Just let it run off your back like a duck does with the water. Yeah. Enjoy it, because it shows that you're doing right. I know it may sound funny, but if the world loved you, then all we're doing really is tickling their ear. Yeah. If we're standing up for the Lord and proclaiming his message, the world is, in large, going to be against you. And we're told that in Scripture. They are surprised, as we read in the passage, that you don't join them in their reckless way of living. And that's why they laugh at us, because they're going out. Those who've been in the forces know what it's like. They're going for their beer calls and all their lovely parties, and we're saying, "No, thank you, I've got all the things to do, I'm going to do my washing," or whatever, you know. But the fun's always poked there, you know. "Oh, he's a member of the God Squad," you know. And I used to enjoy that, because it meant they recognized that I was different. And I think we should celebrate our differences, not let them burden us with them. Now, we can expect all of that sort of reaction from the world, but surely we wouldn't expect it from other Christians, would we? No, we wouldn't. But, you know, you've got to understand that even Christians are human as well. And as human, we can be just as sinful as the next person. We can make mistakes, errors of judgment, put whatever label you want on it, but in the end it all comes to sin. And I believe that's why the Lord just forewarned us and his disciples, and we are his disciples if we love the Lord Jesus, in Matthew 6, 9 through to 11. And he reads, "This is how you should pray. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we also forgive our debtors." So it is clear that we must forgive if we hope to receive forgiveness and enjoy God's peace, his perfect peace. It's important that we make a point of examining ourselves before we start criticizing others and pointing the finger. Because it's a funny thing. You know, whenever we point the finger, and if you don't believe me, do it. Just point the finger and just look. You've got the triune pointing back at you. Three fingers pointing back at you. So it's a dangerous thing to do. You're outnumbered 3-1 every time you point the finger. So you need to examine yourselves before you do. And Luke tells us this in chapter 6, verses 37 through to 42. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure ye use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Tough words, you know, but they're, I think, in that part of Scripture, a lot of people take it that that's all for the good. You're going to get all of this glory and bucket loads that you can't handle with, pressed out. But the same goes for the opposite. If you don't be generous to people, you're going to get a different measure poured out, shaken down, and overflowing onto your knees. So we've got to be careful that we look at both sides of the coin here. I don't know about you, but from time to time, I find myself in that very situation where I've been criticizing people, criticizing things, whatever. And it's an easy trap to fall into, but it's important that we recognize it as such, that it is a trap, and it's a trap of the devil's making. It's a trap to divide rather than to unite. So it's something that we need to be aware of as Christians, because we are no different from the world. We're in the world, but we're supposed to be not of the world. But sometimes we slip, and we've got to remember. That's why it's important that we always come back to the Lord every day and seek his forgiveness for what we've done, because I can guarantee, even without thinking, that I'll have upset the Lord numerous times already this morning, and we're not even at tea break time yet. Yeah, but it is important, you know, we need to be sensitive about when we criticize things. You know, it's said that the world loves a critic. And you just got to look at TV, all these stupid things that are on now. What do they call them? These programs where reality TV and the critics on there and the things that go on there. And it, so I believe. I don't watch it. Like, you know. But from what I hear, it's not very wholesome. But again, we've got to be careful. But the world loves a critic, but only a few are helpful. You know, criticism can be useful if it's applied correctly. And the scripture tells us, in love, if you've got a criticism about a brother or sister, go to them in love. Put your arm around them and try to explain what the situation is. And listen to their point of view as well, because you never know. You might have got it wrong, because you don't know what their intentions were at that time. It might be something that just, it's been a downtime, you've been feeling rough, and somebody said something, and it's just rubbed your hair the wrong way. But it may not have been meant in that way. But if you don't go and speak to them, you'll never know. So it is good to criticize, as long as it's done in a proper way. Lovingly come around them. But often we go and we criticize to other people, not the people who the criticism's about. And to be honest, that is only one thing, and it's mentioned in the scripture we've just read. That's where the meddling comes in, where the gossip comes in. And that can be divisive to anybody. Not just the church, but look what's happening in Parliament at the minute. Yeah. And a lot of that's through gossip. People saying things, promising things. I mean, there's so many promises being made at the minute because they're preparing for a general election. And if they were to meet all the promises they're promising, I think the world would be bankrupt. Not just Great Britain would be bankrupt, because there just isn't the way of doing it. But they're tickling people's ears. And that's what we've got to be careful of. You know, I don't worry about what politicians are going to do or what's going to happen with Brexit or anything else. I know that he is in control. The Lord will have his way and his will be done. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy to go with whatever his will is for us, just as the children of Israel were. The children of Israel were sent out into exile because they disobeyed the Lord. But they were sent for a time. And then they were brought back. The Lord forgave them and brought them back to their own promised land. You know, so that is what I believe in, that the Lord's plan will be done. So don't worry about, put Brexit out of your mind. In fact, I won't mention it again. There are also those who can be very demanding, so long as someone else is going to do the job. Yeah, I can be like that. That's my wife. At times I'll expect dinner on the table, but I'm sitting down watching the rugby or whatever, expecting her to do the work. Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that if it's Ireland playing, of course, but apart from yesterday, I wish I hadn't bothered sitting down to watch it. But that's another story, you know. But we've got to be careful that if we expect something to be done, then we need to take ownership of it. If it's something that's a burden that the Lord's laid on our heart to evangelize, he's laid it on your heart to do that. So you shouldn't be trying to push it onto somebody else to go and do your job. By all means, talk to other people and see if you can get them involved in it. Fine, no problem with that. But to just expect someone else to go and do your work for you, like I expect Linda to have the dinner ready, it's not what the Lord's intentions are. And there's an old saying for that, isn't there? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You know, but I used to say that when I was in the Air Force as well, because that was nearly the norm, really. You'd shout about something, but you expected somebody else to do it. You didn't want to do it yourself. Nobody volunteered for anything in the forces. As John's smiling, because he's well aware that what I say is true. But let's look at 1 Peter again, verses 7 to 11. As Christians, we're called to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. Above all things, to love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of us should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So that's a good rule to use when you're going to criticize anybody, is to remember that love covers a multitude of sins, so do it in a loving manner. Be willing to forgive or be forgiven if it's on the other foot. But it's all through the grace of God. And if you don't operate in the grace of God, then you're on the wrong path. Simple as that. It seems very easy, doesn't it? But it's not. But how easy it would be if only it weren't for our sinful natures. Because the old sinful nature gets in the way all the time. And you see it in children from no age. And people are saying, oh, don't smack them. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Don't smack them. So if a kiddie comes and puts his hand in the fire, you're just supposed to let it put his hand in the fire or say, no, don't do that. Where we tap on the wrist, doesn't hurt anybody. But they know the next time they put their hand, they're going to get a tap on the wrist. So they don't put it in, not because the fire's going to burn them, but they're not going to get a tap on the wrist. But it saves them from getting burnt in the fire. And as Christians, we've got to be the same. We've got to accept the discipline of the Lord, the slap on the wrist, as it were. Because he's slapping us on the wrist before we get into that situation where we're going to get burnt or destroyed. And it's something that we need to take on board, that the Lord chastises only those that he loves. You know, I've told this story last week to Lorraine. When I was at school, I was a bad lad. I used to walk to school with me sixpence, buy two Park Drive and a penny book of matches, smoke one on the way there and one on the way back. And my mate from the same street, Robert Murrah, Robert, if you're listening to this, forgive me for mentioning your name. But he went into the toilets in the school. I think he had got a couple of extra cigarettes from somewhere. And we were having his smoke in separate cubicles. And we heard these footsteps coming in. Yes? Who's that? Murrah, sir. Because it was the headmaster, Mr. Malone. Says, Murrah, he says, finish what you're doing, get back to your class now. Come to my door. Who's in there? Me, sir. Who's me? Kelly, sir. Right, Kelly, get down to my office now. So I went down to his office. Took me in, bent me over, and I got six of the best on the backside with his cane. And tearfully I said, why was it only me, sir? He says, I've given up on Murrah. Yeah. And really, that's what the Lord does. The Lord chastises those he loves, those who are going to appreciate it, those who are going to recover from it. Yeah? So bear that in mind. As Christians, as I said, we are called to be clear-minded. Romans 3:23 is quite straightforward, cannot be misunderstood. Reads, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, no matter what we do in this life, that is going to be applied to our situation. We are all going to sin, we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. Until he comes and redeems us as his own, that is going to apply. Yeah, so you've got that in your head. Understand that. But does that give us license just to accept that situation without trying to do our best to live up to God's standards? No. We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep walking. We will fall. That's not the important thing. The important thing is getting up again and continuing your walk. Because we are all going to fall. We're all going to have to go to the Lord for repentance. But it's important that we repent, get up, and carry on. because if you don't carry on, if you're not moving forward, you're actually moving backwards, you're backsliding. Why then is it there are Christians who prefer to keep their powder dry, as it were? You know, I've even been asked in this very church, when I was speaking on church membership, and this person asked, I'm not going to mention names or even the sex, this person asked, open in front of the whole church, what's in it for me, Jerry? Well, when she said it, I got this famous quote came into my mind. And it's a quote from JFK's inaugural speech, but I modified it slightly. And I just asked her, you should not ask what the church can do for you, but what can you do for your church? You know what his speech was? Do not ask what the country can do for you. But that's a question I believe that each of us needs to ask ourselves from time to time, especially when we're in such a small fellowship. You know, the workload in a small fellowship, believe it or not, is just as onerous, and there is as many things to do as in a fellowship of 52, 1,000, whatever, how you want to build it up. And somebody's still got to put the lights on, make sure the place is heated, get the toilets open, a myriad of things, as well as preparing the word, the music, and all the rest of it. There's a lot. And there are people in all churches who I call pew fodder. They just want to go in, sit down, enjoy the show, criticize all they want, because they haven't had to do anything for it, and then go and have a cup of tea. Now that's great, but you're not going to grow doing that. Really, if the Lord has given you gifts, he wants you to use them or lose them. And if you can use them to his glory and to aid your church, and if you're at a church where you believe the Lord has sent you to, then it's even more so. Because if the Lord hasn't sent you here, then the Lord hasn't given you gifts to be used within the fellowship. If you've got gifts that can be used within the fellowship and aren't willing to use them, well, the only one who's going to suffer is the individual, not the fellowship, because the Lord will not let that happen. When we look at Matthew 9:37-38, this is what Jesus said. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, and as a church, that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray that the Lord will provide workers willing to use their gifts to lighten the burden and to share the load. I want to look at another scripture. It's from Mark 8:31-38. In this scripture, Jesus predicts his death. And it reads, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels." Powerful bit of scripture. So then we should not be surprised, should we, when we are criticized because of our faith? Jesus made it clear that it wouldn't be easy. But you know, he did promise us, and all his promises are yes and amen, and they're all ongoing. He promised each and every one of us that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. And if you've got the Lord on your side, you don't need to worry about anybody else. You just need to keep hold of his hand and he will guide you. Jesus has promised to be with us always. And in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we are told, words of Jesus, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What a promise. Why do we struggle so much? I love that old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Why don't we? Why do we go about going for prayer whenever every other option has been tried? Everything else fails. You know, we've got people in our fellowship, and no doubt fellowships around the country. And the first thing they do is they'll get advice from the next door neighbor. They'll go and Google it. The last thing they do is they come to the church for prayer. Not everybody, but there are some. And that should be your first protocol. Scripture tells you, take it to the elders of the church. Pray on, get it prayed for. Because, you know, doctors are brilliant. They can do all these procedures, but it's the Lord who completes the healing. Doctors can only do so much. If the Lord says, "Yeah, it's not going to be healed," it ain't going to be healed no matter what the doctor does. So let's remember to take it to the Lord in prayer. It does. It sounds nice. But it requires cooperation. As I've already said, you've heard it said before, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Got a load of Indians this morning, but we could have done with a couple more chiefs, but that's life. But the Lord provides for all our needs, even when it's meager, when things are difficult, and you think, "Oh, what's the point?" The Lord never seeks to surprise me. That's why I said with Michael Coleman and Linda this morning, it was extra uplift for me and my spirit. It was just a blessing from the Lord. So thank you both. Thank you all for here, all of you here this morning. It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to be in your presence along with the Savior who loves us all. So I'm just going to leave you with that one question. I don't want an answer. You've just got to answer it yourself. Can you honestly say this morning that you are living for God? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I apologize for any of my stumbling. But Lord, you can sift through any heap of rubble and reform it and plant it into the minds of those that the message is for. So Lord, I just leave it with you to just sow your seed. Lord, to just bless us and to help us to listen for your guidance and to follow your lead and to remember that your yoke is easy and your burden is light and that you will be there beside us to the very end of the age. So Lord, we just thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.